Welcome to Music and Medicine with Dr. Carl Wern. On the first Sunday of each month at this time, Dr. Wern soothes you with classical music and great ideas for living a more healthful life. Now, here is Music and Medicine with Dr. Wern.
This special broadcast is focused on the month of February, and the most important day in February, of course, is Valentine's Day, always the 14th of the month. It is a celebration of love. Love is not like the five senses that you can touch, see, taste, feel, and hear. I think it is a most desired state of mind, almost like a dream. Robert Frost said, "Love is an irresistible desire to be irresistibly desired." We are going to talk on this program of beautiful music, inspiration, and how to keep ourselves happy. Love inspires creativity, energetic activity, and great accomplishments. It also is a source of disappointment. And in some love that's disappointed, people are known to go to war, get depressed, and kill themselves. A great example of this is the Trojan War, when Paris of Troy absconded with Helen, the wife of a king of Sparta. And also, I have another story. When I was an ER physician, I was at an Applebee's, and I met a guy who looked depressed at a dinner, and I asked him why, and he said he was a welder, and he'd been out doing locum tenens welding. And his friend was upset that the girlfriend had broken up with him, and this poor guy went to visit his friend the other morning, and the guy had blown his brains out. So we know that love can not only be a very positive thing, but it could be a very negative thing. And as a point of interest, something I've just learned is that the reason we have opera is because of love. Opera started in the 15th century with all these artists in Florence, Italy, talking about what to do and how to make things happen. There were musicians and singers, and they all of a sudden had an idea to combine music and song like the Greeks did, but their inspiration was the story of Orpheus and Eurydice. Orpheus and Eurydice get married, and she's bitten by a snake, and she dies, and Orpheus has to go to the underworld to get her resuscitated. But virtually all the first operas that were done were inspired by love. And it was being staged at the Juilliard School. And he told the whole history. And I'm saying to myself, yeah, love is not only a great inspiration to our soul, but it makes us make music. And of course, Shakespeare said, "If music is the food of love, play on." And I would like to, just before I go into the nitty-gritty of this broadcast, I'd like to say I welcome all those people who are successful and unsuccessful in love. Our first piece on this program of music and medicine, of course, has to be the Moonlight Sonata by Ludwig von Beethoven. He composed this. He was only about in his early 30s, and he was depressed because one of his pupils, who was an aristocrat, Gabriella Rossellacci, whatever her name was, he wanted to propose to her, but it was so full of emotion and power that even in the early 1800s, the whole world realized it was one of the greatest pieces ever made. And one of the various interesting things about it is that the pedal is pushed down through the whole piece, so the sounds intermingle just like a great love affair. And now we're going to have Vladimir Horowitz, and he's going to play the Moonlight Sonata. Thank you. when I hear the Moonlight Sonata, I remember hearing it for the first time and being amazed at the incredible emotional intensity. And then I've heard it so many times, even in a piano bar at the Harborview Hotel on Martha's Vineyard. And the guy played it beautifully. He was a cocktail pianist, but he played the Moonlight Sonata like his heart was really in it. The next composer is one of my favorite composers. And if we talk about love, we have to remember that Robert Schumann, born in 1810, was one of the not only great romantic composers, he's considered the greatest romantic composer of all time, because it was Robert Schumann who not only composed romantic music, but he wrote a great deal of literature and in magazines to explain what romantic music was. He was a fabulous writer, and he had a whole coterie of literary friends who supported his ideas. The idea of romantic music, the music exists only as a form to create expression and emotion in those listening to it. The poetic nature of the human condition could be demonstrated in the music, and that was very different. He put titles on things that nobody ever had before. Beethoven didn't call it the Moonlight Sonata. That was done many years later. But Schumann, when he was 21, he wrote a set of piano pieces called Papillon, Butterfly. He was the first one to create the literary idea and translate it into the music. And I'm going to play for you now a wonderful piece of music that I perform. It's called the Fantasy Pieces. It has a feeling of a dreamlike quality, the three fantasy pieces, and I'm going to play the first one with one of my accompanists, Robert Koppelson, who teaches at Manhattan School of Music, and we're going to play the Fantasy Piece in A minor by Robert Schumann. Thank you. I think the wonderful tenderness in this piece also reflects the fact that Robert Schumann had one of the most wonderful and tender relationships in the history of music and also art, because his wife, who he met since she was 9 years old and he was 19, he went to stay at Mr. Weck, who was his teacher, who was a famous piano teacher, and he rented a room when he was 18. Clara was 9. They fell in love. She became one of the greatest pianists in the 19th century. She performed thousands of concerts, and she was a good friend of Johannes Brahms, and she had 8 children as well with Robert. But they had the most wonderful marriage. Unfortunately, he died after a year and a half in an insane asylum because he became extremely depressed. She couldn't see him the last year of his life. She only saw him just before he died. And that comes to the question of how efficacious we have treatments now for depression that can really transform people. In fact, there was a new treatment using ketamine that in one IV treatment, 8 out of 10 people, their depression magically disappears in 1 to 2 days. Now, we have all kinds of antidepressant medications that started in the 1950s with the monoamine oxidase inhibitors, and then they graduated to the amitriptylines, and now we have the serotonin antagonists that maintain a good level of reuptake antagonists that maintain a good level of serotonin in your brain so you don't get as depressed. And there's dozens of medication that are very effective. And I didn't realize that primary care doctors prescribe more of these medication than psychiatrists. And they're very effective sometimes. And I've seen patients within 3 weeks, their depression just lifts. It's amazing. And of course, sometimes I had a patient gave the antidepressants to. He's very depressed. He got more depressed. Had him admitted to the psychiatric hospital where we have all kinds of, not just medications, but we have electroshock therapy and everything else, and also psychotherapy. We must remember that psychotherapy, along with medication, is a very important process to prescribe. Psych medicines alone are not as effective unless there's good psychotherapy. And I think, you know, one of the great things that religion has given us is the confession, because when people talk about their problems to priests or whoever, it's a cathartic effect. We'll talk about an even more romantically famous composer than Schumann. And music was in the home, and it became a major part of social interaction. And people socialized and engaged each other through music, and that's how romantic relationships developed. It was very intimate. In other countries like Russia, I was just reading Letters from Russia by the Marquis de Cuisine. He did Letters from Russia in the late 1830s. And there, the balls were the most important thing. You had to go to the balls because that was the social interaction of the way people met each other, they developed relationships, and they would form families. Today, we don't have the same close interaction that we had in the 18th and 19th century. Music has always been a facilitator of romance. As I say, if Shakespeare said, if music be the food of love, play on. The next composer who is very close to my heart is Frédéric Chopin. I have always marveled at his amazing variety of piano pieces. He never composed anything for orchestra except his piano concertos, and he did one piano trio. He did a cello sonata, and that's why I'm going to talk about him. The last piece he ever wrote before he died of tuberculosis. He got very sick with tuberculosis, and he was ministered to by his mistress, George Sand. She was the famous writer who had a male name. He palled around, which I didn't realize. His best friend was Auguste Franchomme. He lived in Paris, and Auguste Franchomme was one of the greatest cellists of his day, and they used to go out to dinner together and socialize. And the last piece he ever wrote as he was dying was the Chopin cello sonata that I performed. And here I'm going to perform the slow movement for you, Lisa Sitjoy.
Thank you.
We have just played the beautiful slow movement of the Chopin Sonata, the Adagio, and I would like to finish with a very short Chopin etude in C-sharp minor, once again played by Vladimir Horowitz, who, as I say, is one of the greatest pianists in the history of music. This just shows the incredible emotional depth. We had sweetness and love in this past piece that I play, the slow movement of the Chopin Sonata. This is tumultuous and exciting and full of passion. This etude, which means study, and he wrote 27 of them in several different opuses. It's the C-sharp minor etude, opus 10, number 4, played by the great Vladimir Horowitz. It's a technical wizardry performance. The greatest Russian romantic composer is Peter Ilyich Tchaikovsky, who has composed some of the greatest ballet music, the greatest symphonies of all time. This wonderful composer, fortunately, had a benefactor from 1879 to 1990, and he'd become world famous, and he didn't have to work at the conservatory anymore. It was a wealthy, wealthy woman called Von Meck. She was the wife of an extremely wealthy railroad businessman. They had a love affair through letters. So Tchaikovsky was able to perform and compose because he had the patronage of a wealthy wife of a Russian businessman, Von Meck, and he composed some of his greatest pieces during that period. It was a love affair of letters. They never saw each other because she had 3 children, but they communicated by letters almost every other day for the 11 years that they had this affair. And we're going to play a piece that's close to my heart, romantic music. It's called Valse Sentimentale, and it's for cello and piano. I really recognized this piece for the first time when I got a videotape of Yasha Heifetz that talked about his career. And the last portion of the tape was Gregor Piatigorsky. He was a Russian, too, a great Russian cellist. There's 20 minutes where he talks about his music, and he says to the woman who's interviewing him, he says, "Madame, I will play for you a most beautiful piece about love and romance." And very interesting thing about Gregor, he's one of the greatest cellists of all time, great Russian cellist. He and Pierre Fournier were the two major cellists in the 1930s and 40s, and they did a switcheroo. They decided to divorce their wives, and Piatigorsky's wife went to Pierre Fournier, and Pierre Fournier's wife went to Gregor Piatigorsky. Okay, this piece is Valse Sentimentale by Peter Ilyich Tchaikovsky, and it's performed by Dr. Carl Wern and Lisa Sitjoy. Let us now listen to Valse Sentimentale by Tchaikovsky. The last piece of Tchaikovsky that I would like to play, his great ballet, Swan Lake, that was written in 1875, 76, and 77. And actually, his first few performances, it was not all that popular. And then it became wildly popular 2 or 3 years after it was initially performed. And it stands out in my mind because I've seen Swan Lake about 75 times. I like Swan Lake is because there's a wonderful pas de deux, a dance for two, where the Prince Siegfried is dancing with Odette, and she's a swan during the daytime. At night, she can become a human. And because there's been a curse put over the swans, during the day she has to dance as a swan in the Lake of Tears. Siegfried, who's 21, has been offered all kinds of women as potential suitors. People get married. That's the first part of the ballet. And then he goes hunting and he meets the swan at night. So she's now a person. And this is a famous pas de deux. And I love it because, first of all, it's a cello. It's a cello and violin duo. One of the most important things. The first day I met my second wife, we went out to dinner in New York City, went to the American Ballet Theater. And after watching the ballet, we came out and I had a rental car and I forgot where I parked it. We were so much in love and we got married 6 weeks later. Fortunate that I remember that I had parked the car near the little red church around the corner, which is a famous little church in New York. And it has red doors. So I remembered. And after a half an hour, we found the car. But the last thing I would like to say about Swan Lake is that when I was in medical school, I played the Swan Lake in the orchestra pit for the American Ballet Theater in Brooklyn Academy of Music. And I was a very idealistic person in music and medicine at the time. You have to realize during a lot of Swan Lake, the brass section is not performing much. And we're playing in the pit. And I can see the ballet dancers a little bit because I'm front, but under the stage is the pit where the brass section is. They can't be seen. I looked at them several times, and they're playing poker in the back, waiting for when they have their small entrance into the music. And I said, geez, this must be burnout. Swan Lake, this is the scene in the second act when Prince Siegfried has discovered Odette, and they dance a wonderful pas de deux, and they express their love for each other. John Sharp is the performer in this wonderful, the cellist in this wonderful pas de deux of Tchaikovsky from Swan Lake. we go from the dreamlike state of love in Swan Lake to a dream. Love is like a dream. And I'm going to play now a famous piece by a famous French composer, the last great romantic French composer, Gabriel Fauré, who lived almost 80 years, taught Ravel and many of the famous French composers of the 20th century. And it's his beautiful piece called Après un Rêve, which means After a Dream. And I am performing that once again with Lisa Sitjar, the wife of my recording engineer. This music was originally written for voice. It was transcribed for cello and piano by the great Pablo Casals. We are now going to listen to that beautiful piece, Après un Rêve, by Gabriel Fauré. Now, if love is a dream for a lot of people, love can be problematic at times, as we all know. Anybody who follows the Hollywood beat and all the movie stars, their multiple marriages and divorces, know about the pitfalls of love. And so my next selection is going to be about problems people have in love, and it's written by three or four people, but the major guy who wrote it is Horace Ott. He's a composer who composed a lot of things for Nina Simone, and he wrote it because he was having trouble with his girlfriend. She was angry at him. He wrote this song, Don't Let Me Be Misunderstood. It's funny because after he wrote it and played it for her, she decided to marry him. Another great thing about this song is that it was written in 1964, but the famous English rock group The Animals took this song, and a quiet love song, they turned into a rock and roll bonanza that became one of the biggest hits in the 60s. We're going to play now Don't Let Me Be Misunderstood, recorded by Nina Simone in 1964.
Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always be an angel? When everything goes wrong, you see some bad. But I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh, Lord,
know sometimes, baby, I'm so carefree, with a joy that's hard to hide. And then sometimes again it seems that all I have is worry, and then you're bound to see my other side. But I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood. If I seem edgy, I want you to know I never mean to take it out on you. Life has its problems, and I get more than my share, but that's one thing I never mean to do, 'cause I love you. Oh, 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 baby, I'm just human. Don't you know I have faults like anyone? Sometimes I find myself alone regretting some little foolish thing, some simple thing that I've done. 'Cause I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood. Don't let me be misunderstood. I try so hard, so please don't let me be.
Now, isn't that a great song? And Nina Simone was a frustrated pianist who always wanted to be a concert pianist. She went to Juilliard, but she never got her chance. And so she was playing piano music in a nightclub. And they said, that's not enough. We want some voice with that. And she started singing and became world famous. And let's talk now about depression and bipolar behavior, because Nina Simone, her life, she was a wonderful black lady born in the South, who was given a chance to go to the Big Apple and become quite successful, but she had tremendous problems with bipolar disease. She pointed a gun at her manager when she was living in England. She shot up the apartment next door to her. She had tremendous problems with self-control and depression and manic behavior. This is another thing that we need to understand, is that we have to make sure that our friends and family do not have these problems so they can be treated early on in the disease. Because with bipolar disease, if it lasts for a long time, there's a lot of burnout, and people sometimes can never recover. There's several different classes of bipolar disease, and some people are in the depressive phase of it most of the time. Some people are in the manic stage, where they are excitable, can't concentrate, are loud, noisy, gamble too much, get involved with problems with sexual life, and do things that are just out of context of normal behavior. And I have a great story. I was working down in Florida at a small hospital near Tampa. There was a retired baseball player, quite famous. He was very bipolar, and he brought him to the emergency room because he was running around the track at a local high school at 5 o'clock in the morning. And that's an example. These people are unable to control their basic behavior. We've just heard Nina Simone sing this wonderful ballad of Don't Let Me Be Misunderstood. And she had a tragic life later on in her life. She moved to Europe, and she wasn't able to be successful as she should have been, because of her erratic behavior and her inability to be consistent, make sure that she came to concerts that she was performing at. That's part of the problems with people who are bipolar, inconsistency. You're probably wondering what bipolar disease is. Bipolar behavior often can become aggressive. We call it psychotic. They can become psychotic, and when they become psychotic, they can do some very horrible things. They can shoot people, assault people, and that's especially a lot of bipolar people who are manic. They use alcohol because alcohol is a sedative. It's a lot like the benzodiazepines, like Valium and Xanax and Ativan. It has that same effect initially, and it sedates them. But when they drink a lot, they also become less aware of what's socially acceptable. The next piece, we go back to French music and romantic music, and we talk about the disappointments in love once again that arise. And this is from the opera by Massenet called Thaïs, and it's the story of a monk who goes back to visit his friend in a Middle Eastern country in the 19th century. They were friends in school, and his friend has a beautiful wife who is a hedonist and a courtesan. They're having trouble, and the woman, Thaïs, who is this beautiful Marilyn Monroe type character, she is enticed by the Cenobite monk to seek love in God and to find satisfaction in the divine being. And there's a beautiful interlude for violin and orchestra that Massenet writes, in which it sets the tone for her desire to leave behind the sensual things in life and to seek the eternal. Now we're going to listen to a wonderful performance of the Meditation from Thaïs by Jules Massenet. Thank you. Okay, the next piece is the last piece on the program. And in our first program, we had Paul McCartney sing a song about yesterday and time. And I'm going to talk about a wonderful performer, James Taylor, who actually, Peter Asher, who had a close relationship with Paul McCartney. In fact, Paul McCartney lived in Peter Asher's house in London for 6 or 7 years. Peter Asher's mother was a famous oboe player, taught at the famous academy in London. And Peter Asher had a duo, Peter and Gilbert, and they became famous with a song that Paul McCartney wrote for them. And Paul McCartney actually was very close to James Taylor. James Taylor came to London after he had trouble with drugs in the early 60s, did not know what to do with his life, and he was on the down and out. He was told to see Peter Asher, who was a very important part of the Beatles and Apple Records. Peter Asher heard him sing, and Peter Asher became his manager. And the song is sort of a denouement, because love, if it's going to last, you have to have an extraordinarily close friendship with the person. The passionate love doesn't stay on forever. I'm going to do a song by James Taylor that's one of my favorite songs, and it says, "You've Got a Friend."
When you're down and troubled and you need a helping hand, and nothing, nothing is going right, close your eyes and think of me, and soon I will be there to brighten up even your darkest night. You just call up my name, and you know where else I'll come running, oh yeah, babe, to see you again. Winter, spring, summer, or fall, all you got to do is call, and I'll be there, yeah, yeah, yeah. You've got a friend. If the sky above you should turn dark and full of clouds, and that old north wind should begin to blow, keep your head together and call my name. Now, soon I'll be knocking upon your door. You just call up my name, and you know wherever I am, I'll come running. Oh, yes, I will see you again. Spring, summer, or fall, yeah. All you got to do is call, and I'll be there, yeah, yeah, yeah. Hey, ain't it good to know that you've got a friend? When people can be so cold, they'll hurt you and desert you. Well, they'll take your soul if you let them. Oh, yeah, but don't you let them. You just call out my name, and you know wherever I am, I'll come running to see you again. Oh, baby, don't you know about winter, spring, summer, or fall? Hey.
day now, all you've got to do is call. Lord, I'll be there, yes, I will. You've got a friend. You've got a friend, yeah. Ain't it good to know you've got a friend? Ain't it good to know you've got a friend? Oh, yeah, yeah, you've got a friend.
I think, as I said, it's Valentine's Day. I would like to end this program by thanking all the great composers who made love and romance better. And I would also like to once again welcome all those who are engaged in the pursuit of love. This statement, I think, says it all in modern day America. You can't buy happiness, but you can buy flowers. This is Dr. Carl Wern, hoping that you all have a wonderful month of February and a wonderful Valentine's Day on Monday, February 14th.
You have been listening to Music and Medicine with Dr. Carl Wern over WRAX 106.5 FM and 1600 AM. Join us again on the first Sunday of every month for Music and Medicine right here on RAX 106.5. If you'd like to hear this program again, visit BedfordCountyRadio.com. See you next time on Music and Medicine.